Can you talk a little bit about how you approach the choice of second, third, fourth line chemotherapy in patients off study?
Yeah, that's a whole discussion in itself. We generally will take into account multiple factors into making recommendations. I think probably the place to start on a discussion with this is to understand that the patients that are getting single agents that are non-platinum and taxane-based, that these drugs basically perform about the same. In all the phase 3 studies that have been done to date, these drugs have basically measured up the same. So with that understood, the next kind of question that goes into this decision-making process has to do with anticipated toxicities, schedules, and features like that, and pre-existing toxicities. So drugs that are neurotoxic would be probably lower on my list to choose in a patient who's got lasting neurotoxicity from their primary treatment and such. So that's probably the way that the decision process goes.
So what would you put on your list of drugs that you consider essentially equal from an efficacy point of view in this situation?
So, yeah, again, I'm referring to the single agents that have been done in head-to-head competition. So basically, topotecan, pegylated doxorubicin or Doxil, single-agent gemcitabine, single-agent paclitaxel, those drugs have all been looked at in prospective studies, randomized phase 3s that have come up basically the same in terms of their activity. Now, there's nuances for every one of those studies, which we could go into, but in the intent-to-treat populations, those particular phase 3 studies basically all showed that these drugs had about the same activity, and so certainly enter into our discussion.
Can you kind of describe a typical profile of a patient you'd put on drug A versus drug B versus C?
Sure. You know, I think that, as I mentioned, patients that have lasting neurotoxicity from their primary treatment, which we see a lot with patients treated coming off of relatively high-dose intraperitoneal chemotherapy, or those that were on maintenance therapy, let's say with a paclitaxel agent, I'm a little less likely to put them back on drugs that have neurotoxicity like paclitaxel. Patients that have trouble with myelosuppression tend to use drugs that won't have as much. So while topotecan can have myelosuppression when it's given in the daily times 5 fashion, which is where it's approved, we've shown that in multiple phase 2 studies, the weekly format is much better tolerated. Single agent gemcitabine at higher doses can be problematic, but we've shown that, or there's been some data now to look at on a every 14-day basis rather than on a weekly basis, that you can ameliorate some of that toxicity. Pegylated liposomal doxorubicin, you know, its main side effect has to deal with PPE, which we see at the higher doses, but we've made modifications with that, the PPE being the hand-foot syndrome. But it doesn't have particularly a great amount of myelosuppression. So I tend to, with that in mind, tend to try to make a decision, which again gets down many times to schedule, which is different between each of those three drugs that I mentioned. And on the other hand, you know, I would say that in patients who don't have neurotoxicity from frontline setting, that single-agent paclitaxel can be quite effective, especially if it's given in a weekly format or any of the other taxanes. Another side effect, I guess, we didn't really talk much about platinum-sensitive patients, but certainly one of the emerging problems we've seen with taxanes, platinums, and to some extent with pegylated liposomal doxorubicin is this hypersensitivity issue. So patients that have hypersensitivity reactions on carbo or Taxol will have to make a decision about whether or not to desensitize those patients or to switch to a different type of agent. So